Let us bow before the Lord. Father, as we come before you, we pray that you will speak to everyone. Open our ears so that we can hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the burden in my heart. Jesus warns disciple. So for those who have already accepted Jesus, this is what we should do. But if you are not, you have not accepted Jesus, now this is what you have to consider. Wow, should I be a disciple? Such a good thing to be a disciple. Now, I've been doing this for some time. Last time I talked about serving God. So do some recap what I've shared last time. I talk about what are you serving for? Actually, think about your life. You studied very hard. You work very hard day by day. Why? Why do you work so hard? You want to play, but yet you have to study. Actually, everyone wants to live an easy life, a lazy life, a carefree life. I don't have to worry about exam. I don't have to worry about money. I just want to live a very comfortable life. But in reality, we know there are some needs. We need money. So what are you serving for? Sometimes a father may say, I need money to provide food for my family. There are many needs in our lives. So we are serving as if for our needs. Someone wants beauty. Girls go to gym, work very hard to keep their shape, to keep their look, make themselves look beauty. Doing all the shopping, going to shops, buying beautiful clothes. Why? It's to make themselves beauty. What are your goals in your life? Some people want power. American president, make America great again. You want to make yourself great again? There are many people, no matter at what level, even you become a president, a prime minister, there are things you want. What are you serving for? Ask yourself. When I was in high school, I asked myself, why do I study so hard? I want to play, but I need to study. There are some subjects I like. Mathematics, I enjoy mathematics, just like challenges. But there are some boring subjects for me. I don't like history. I don't like geography. Some people like geography. To them, I have to study it. So why can't I do something just what I want? And also, last time we talked about what would you get. Yes, I want this, I make an effort, I try to get this. But at the same time, my friend, you are paying a price. When you look at the advertisement, TV advertisement, talking about gambling. And at that advertisement, there's something like, imagine what you can do with the money. You can buy something else. Instead of gambling, getting that, notice when you're paying the price to get something, at the same time, you are losing something. Isn't it? Whenever you try to get something, you are paying a price. You would ask yourself, does it worth? If I say, who wants my car? Who wants my car? $10. Anyone want? Oh, okay, smart. No. How about $10,000? Actually, it's more than $10,000. $100,000. No, it doesn't work. Okay? So when you say something you want, yes, it's good to have it, but notice you are paying a price. When I say, I enjoy playing the games, but actually you are using your time. Enjoy that, but notice you are losing something as well. Isn't it? So you have to count the price. When you say, oh, $10 for a car, yeah, it works. But $100,000 for that car, it doesn't work. So how much does you worth? If I ask Tim, stand up, young Tim, stand up. Okay, he's a slave who wants to buy him. Auction, $10, anyone? No one? Someone, oh, he put up his hand, okay, $10. Any higher price, you can say that. Imagine his auction. Who is going to pay $10,000 for him? Oh, that's one. Your mother, okay. So we can know, but if just looking at you, well, maybe Tim's life, whole life cannot earn $1 million. But in his mother's heart, he works more than 10 million, 20 million, 100 million. Why? There's love there, isn't it? So what would you get? For us, oh, he may worth $10,000. He may his whole life work for me. I may give him $1 million. But I'm just using him. I may not love him. But the mother think he's more than $1 million, more than 10 million. So how much does you worth? Oh, you know what Satan will pay you to buy you? I don't know, maybe some games, you just follow him. Maybe some enjoyment of this world, you will follow him. But who will pay a highest price for you? Lord Jesus, he loves you. And when you ask Lord Jesus, serve, I serve. Satan appeared before Lord Jesus, showing him all the glories of this world. Bow to me, I give all this to you. Lord Jesus won't do that. Serve God only in his whole life. Is it because of counting anything? No, because he loves God. So Jesus made a choice. How about you? Your whole life are making choices. Sometimes people, I want power. Your whole life chasing after power. But there is someone, Lord Jesus loved the most powerful God. God is the Almighty One. We think of chasing something, money, or God who is rich in every way. You are looking for an advice or a God who is all-knowing, so wise, full of wisdom. What would you choose? You want something or someone? Lord Jesus chose God. So why we gathered here today? Because we know something important in our life. God is important in our life. That's why we choose him. Our whole lives, we are chasing anything. Riches, money, all come and go. You got the money, it depreciates. You got the strength today, you got the skill today. When you get old, you will forget about your strength. All those tennis champions, oh, holding the trophy, so glorious. But one day, knee problem, surgery, whole life feel the pain. It doesn't work. Does it work? Think about this. But for Jesus, he chose to serve God only. How about you? In front of you, so many young people among us, so many choices you can make. I'll go there, study that subject, marry that guy, buy that house, buy that. So many options in front of you. But what is in your heart? What is most important thing in your heart? there seems always like a balance in front of you. When Satan comes before Adam, take this, eat this forbidden fruit. And if you eat this, you can be like God, as smart as God. And Adam has to choose, do I do this or not do this? Love myself so that I can become God, or I love God, obey God? So Adam has to wait, and in his heart he chose, I want to go my own way. I want to follow Satan. I want to be God like God. So every choice you make every day, it is something. It speaks of you. It speaks of what is important in your life. Every choice. So serving God today, now this is what I'm going to share today. Serving God, you talk about a price to pay. You talk about serving God. What do I gain in serving God? People may ask. Well, I'll say to you, serving God is not about gaining something. Serving God is out of love. Just like, why would Amy put a highest price for Tim, for his son? Because there's love there. Not because Tim is my future. He can serve me when I get old. So Tim is important for me. So she uses Tim as an assurance for her future. No. Pure love is not for gain. Sometimes we serve God. Hey, God, I serve you. Why don't you bless me? I serve you. How come I become so poor? I serve you. Why don't I live a successful life? I serve God. I become a Christian. Why I am still not the top in my class? Why I don't get stronger or smarter? I thought I serve you, you bless me. I thought I serve you, you give me what I want. I thought I serve you, you give me something. But God wants us to serve him out of love. When Simon Peter, when he denied Jesus 3 times, he was so upset, he went far away to the lake, doing fishing again. Jesus appeared to him. So when they had eaten, this is in John 12, chapter 21, when Jesus appeared to Peter in the morning, trying to restore him. Right now, Peter felt, oh, I'm a failure. I thought I loved you, yet I am no good. I'm no better than, I don't know myself. I'm so weak. I'm useless. I don't know if you ever feel like that. I'm not a strong Christian. I always fail again and again, 3 times in front of a little servant girl. I denied my Lord. I even claimed I will deny him. I will die for him. But suddenly I become like this, so strong, such strong discouragement to him. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Now, what are these? When Simon Peter departed from Jesus, he went to the lake, go back to his old life. Whenever we fall, we go back to our old life. Fishing is what I do. Go back to my comfort zone. This is what brings me identity. I used to be a fisherman. Now I fail. I go back to my fisherman business. This is where I go back. You love me more than this? This refers to his old life, comfortable life, my dream. I was a fisherman. I want to live a fisherman life. Okay, Lord, I'm no good. I go back to my old life. But Jesus asked me, do you love me more than this old life? This peaceful life? This comfortable life? Wait. You love me or this old life? You love me or this successful life? You love me or the blessing? You love me or this? You love me more than all this together? God wants us to serve Him out of love. If there are any other things, one day He will stop and ask you, you love me more than this? You love me more than your music? You love me more than your talents? Oh, what do you love most? And in the book of Revelation, the church, I hope you remember what Neil shared in the church of Ephesus. Lord Jesus, talking to the church of Ephesus, you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake. They have a lot of work. They are doing a lot of work serving the Lord with patience. It's not easy. Persevere. They must have encountered some difficulties, and yet they continue, doing it day by day, day by day, and eventually they do it as a routine. They lost the essence of love in it and have not become weary. They become mechanical in what they do. Maybe you are like a Christian, mechanically. Every Sunday, come, sing, listen, and go. Come, sing, listen, and go. Mechanically. And lost your first love. The first love refers to the best. This first refers to the best part, the good. First fruit is the best fruit. So it's not a matter of time. The first refers to the quality. The first love. So when you are doing all the things, so we are so busy arranging the chair, doing all the Christian work, but when Lord Jesus' X-ray eye looks upon us, where is that love? Where is that love? Where is that love? Yes, we work for Him out of love. And He is looking for love inside our work. We love and we work to serve Him. But if just work, there may not be love inside. So love produces work, but work may not have love inside. So Jesus is checking on us every time. What you do, is there love inside? So I may ask you to do some leading. I may ask you to pray. I may ask you to do this, do that. Is there love of God inside? Or do you just listening to, our trainer, Paul, is telling us to do this, do this, do this. But there is no love. Then it doesn't count. It must be genuine. What is the percentage of love in it? Okay? And talking about serving God, someone may say, if I serve God, I'll lose something I like. If I serve God, I'll lose my future. Oh, God, what happens if God asks me to be a missionary in India? So you think, if I believe in God, I will be in trouble. I'll have a lot of loss. But actually, not our loss, but our gain. Yes, there's a price to pay, but the price actually is losing something that holds us back. But now you yourself, in Colossians, it says, but now you yourself are to be put off all this anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. I wonder if any of you still swear filthy language like the whole world did. You can't help it sometimes. Anger. What? Now, it's not... First of all, it's human to have anger. Okay? God can get angry. But if you hold on that anger and develop into some malice, leads you into sin, and that is the problem. Okay? Anger is a response to something you're feeling is not right. People shouldn't be selling livestock, exchanging money in the temple. Jesus got angry as well. When something is wrong, we say, no, this is wrong. We got angry. It's normal. But what makes you angry is the problem. Okay? So, now, some people have anger issue. I don't know if you have anger issue. I don't know if you have wrath issue. Get angry, smash things. When something not happy, pull the table. Not people doing right things in your eye, you got angry. Angry with your mom, angry with your brother or your sister. So stupid. So got so angry. Okay? Some people can't help it. They are like shackles holding you. You know it's wrong. You shouldn't be overreacting. But you can't resist. So anger is holding you like shackles. Some people have blasphemy, language. These are the old man's deed. Do not lie to one another. Some people can't help lying. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds. So believing in Jesus, following Jesus is put off something. You are losing something. Imagine someone in the prison, they have shackles, their hand holding him. What does it mean by following Jesus? Is Jesus set you free? The shackles off, run. Your hands are free. You put off. Are you losing something? Yes. You lose something that you were in the past, you were in bondage to anger. You are in bondage to filthy language, filthy mind. You are in bondage to lies. But now, the Lord set you free. You are losing. Oh, I don't want to believe in Jesus. If I believe in Jesus, I can't lie anymore. I can't do the wrong thing anymore. You think it is losing something? No. You are in bondage. You are losing the freedom. But once you believe in Jesus, Jesus' life changed your life, then you are losing all this bondage. You put off the old man's deed. This is our true loss. The loss of the old man's deeds. Actually, it should be joyful, isn't it? Usually, I used to lie. I used to do wrong things. But now receiving Jesus, I can have a freedom to drop it. It no longer tangles my life. Bad habits tangling me, drawing me, pulling me down. My life is ruined by gambling, by all this pornography. All this are drawing my life down. Oh, believing in Jesus, I can't do that anymore. Yes, because you set free. You lose all this bondage. You are gaining something. Gaining what? Put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We have gaining this knowledge of knowing him. Our whole life is not struggling with all these bad habits, but we are set free. Set free to have knowledge, to know him. In Philippians, in Colossians here, he says, we can put on something more. We are gaining something. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility. Have I lose something? Yes, I lose all this. Filthy language, love, old man needs. What do I gain? My life can find mercies,
My life can find kindness.
My life can find humility. My life can find meekness.
Ooh,
such a list.
I gain something.
So serving God is God's changing you. Once we were serving Satan, our whole life lived like Satan. But he set us free. We lost it. And gaining Christ, put on tender mercy. Just like when you go to a ball or a dance or attending a very important event, would you keep, when you put on the new clothes, would you take off the old clothes? Would you still wear your pajamas inside when you go to a ball? Take off the coat and his pajamas inside? No way. You will put off the old. You will put off the bad one. And just put on the good one. Put on tender mercies. You want us, God, change our lives so that we can manifest all this. So it's not, believing in Jesus is not about changing our mind. Not just doctrine, but our life changed. Have you experienced such changes? We should. Others should be able to see our life change like this as well. He used to be like that. How come he gradually become like this? Those who baptize, I hope our life can show people we have changed. We used to be angry with anyone. Now we have mercy. We used to have wrath. Now we have kindness. We used to malice. Now we have humility. What a great change. Serving God. What do I gain? You gain this. To be like Him. Yet indeed I also count all things lost. When Paul looked back his whole life, he used to be a Pharisee, religious, successful religious person. But when he looked back, oh, that's not my success. That's my loss. For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, when he comes to know Jesus, all the past are lost. All my habits, all my dreams, all my the things that I used to treasure now is nothing compared to knowing Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. So when you feel, oh, I have to give up that, no, I don't want to believe in Christ, I have to give up that. No, when if you feel like that, something wrong. When you look back, these are all rubbish. Hindering me, drawing me back. Now I cut it off as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. So when you look at Paul's life, he seems to lose a lot of his future in Judaism. But he became a Christian. He gained Christ. This is his whole heart. Yes, I lost many things, but I'm gaining this. If he works. Just now I asked about my car. $10, okay. $10,000, $100,000, not okay. For Paul, everything considered lost to gain Christ. Yes, everyone, you are making your choice. Either you believe in Jesus or even you choose not to believe in Jesus. You still paying a price. You want to still live in sin, still live in anger? That's your choice. But now, God has offered you another choice. You can be freed from all these shackles, all this bondage, set free to live a godly life. Wow, set free? if all this are, well, actually I am as well, we are all slaves, being sold to sin, facing condemnation and judgment. But someone opened the door. Who wants to follow me? Jesus opened the door, coming. Who wants to follow me? You want, you raise your hand, you open, you use the key to turn your shackles, open, use the key to set you free. Now you can follow him. You can leave all this prison. Yes, you lost your position in the prison, but you gained Christ. What a great change. Have you made that decision yet? Have you made that decision yet? Serving Christ, when we think of serving, oh, doing something. So when we ask you to, do you want to serve God? Immediately you think of doing something. Does it mean I have to come early? Does it mean I have to read Bible every day? Does it mean I have to do this, do this, song leading, playing, be a musician or IT person? How do I serve God? We immediately think of doing something, something, something. But actually, God is not in need of our service. God is not, he's all powerful, so rich. He would not say, oh, I'm poor, I'm tired, I'm weak, somebody help me, please, somebody help me to move the chair, somebody help me to set the morning tea. Oh, who is going to help me? God is panicked, God is in trouble, God is crying, nobody comes to serve me. No way. God doesn't need you at all. God doesn't need me. When we serve him, not because he needs help. When we are serving him, he wants to let us manifest his life in our life. Serving him is manifesting him. Let me put it this way. Someone may be a cook, a chef. So his dream about my job is cooking, making a first-class dinner. Michelin 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, making a signature dish, okay? So all the cook, if you are a chef, passionate with cooking, you want to make a perfect dish. When you put that perfect dish in front of people, people say, wow, it's yummy, it's wonderful, you are a great cook. So this is all about that dish, about cooking, about the job. But for a mother, cooking, not maybe wonderful cooking. The mother cooks for the children, for his family, for her family. In the mother's heart, he's thinking about my family can enjoy together. My family can have good time. They can have nutritious dinner. If we have a good time together. So the mother's heart is not on making a perfect dish, but the mother's heart her best because she loves the family. So in her cooking, we can see her love for the family. You see? So the cooking, through the cooking, we can see the love there. The love for the family. So when you, sometimes whenever, actually many years ago, when my father is still at home, he cooks every Wednesday. So every Wednesday we went home to have dinner with my father. He put a lot of dishes on the table. What we can see, appreciate, is not the dish. We can see how this old man, using his whole day to cook food for his children. So we can feel the love of the Father. So when we think of not just the food, Yes, there are food we like, but when we think of the food, we think of His love. Manifest His love. So whenever you come to serve God, not putting the chair, not setting up this, setting up that, sharing the message, not all these activities, but through all these activities, God can see Christ in you. God can see Christ in you. So Paul has a desire, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now, also Christ will be magnified. A magnifying glass, can you remember? Magnified. When you see Paul, Christ can be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. So his whole life, his whole work, his ministry, he's not just a busy person, but we can see Christ in his life. I used to hear a very short story I like very much. It's about a father doing gardening with his son. His son is very small. So, come, my son, let's dig out this and put the seed in the soil. So the son is walking. As he is walking, he stepped on some other plants as well. Actually, he's a trouble. He's making a mess more than he's doing something good. So the people looking at him, "Hey, that boy is damaging all the young plants. Don't let him do it. He's destroying your garden. Don't let the boy do it." And the father say to that person, "I'm not growing the seeds. I'm growing my son. I'm teaching him. I let him learn responsibility. I let him learn how to bring up plants. I'm developing him, not the seeds." So it's the job. Don't think we can do a good job. We always bring problem to God. We are jealous. If we think we are good, we envy other people if we think we are no good. When we do things, we cause a lot of trouble. But actually, God still wants us to do. Why? Because in doing things for Him, He trained us. He changed us. He developed us. So that we manifest His life. A father planting and the son share the same experience. Oh, this is the way to grow seeds. So the two can have some understanding. Oh, my father is a great gardener. My son is learning to be a great gardener. You see? So God wants us to serve Him, not because we are very helpful. Contrary, we are always making trouble. But God still wants us to learn how to serve Him. And in this learning process, our life changes to be more like Him. This is more important. So, our work is not that great. But good enough, I accept it. God have mercy on us and accept our work for Him. It's not that great. But He will always say, "Great work, my son. Well done. We are just doing one thing right. Good work." He's encouraging us to grow and to follow Him. So, just now I mentioned, we serve God. Actually, God is training us. So our life would not be smooth and easy. So when you are a Christian, you may encounter lots of challenges and difficulties. Because God is not asking you to just do one simple thing. Put up your hand to be a Christian, and then you put up your hand, "Oh, that's it, you finished, you can go to heaven." No. Sometimes God will put us into troubles, trials, failures. We may cry, Lord, I want to be strong. How come I am so weak? We may have doubts in our hearts. So it's not easy way to grow, full of challenges. I don't know if you play any games or not on the internet, something, there are some games. You don't want it to be too simple, isn't it? 1 + 1 = 2? No, it's not challenging at all. You want to find, are there more challenges? Are there more higher level? You want challenges. More challenges, build up your mind, build up your strength, build up your skill. Okay? So, piano always, dong, 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 dong. One finger, no challenges. But one day when you sit at the piano, I always think of, if your hands can extend both ways, you must be great in playing piano. I don't know. I don't know how you can play like that. But more challenges makes us developed. More challenges speaks of more Christ-like. So in James, he shared and let us know, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In the previous verse, he talked about all these trials and difficult times. Why? So that you may be perfect and complete. So God will, if you are a Christian, actually, even though if you are not a Christian, you will still face difficulty, challenges, hard times, isn't it? And it will just to bring you down. It won't bring you much goodness in you. You will be proud, even if you overcome all the difficulties. You will be very self-centered. But for Christians, when we face difficult times, it seems there are times we have to struggle. Sometimes we may get hurt. Some people say bad things to you, do wrong things to you. You will feel the pain. Yes, Christian will feel the pain. You will feel disappointment with others. You will feel disappointment with yourself. But only then you can feel the comfort of God. When you come before God, why? God will comfort you. Then you learn something. We may suffer loss. My pet dog died. My family members died. You will suffer loss. Sometimes you will feel there's no justice. It's not fair. Even you have doubts. God, are you there? Did you see? Can you hear? Can you hear what they say to me? It's not fair, no justice. You may put in doubts. Whenever you are in doubts, oh, it's a chance that God teach you. Do you still have faith in me? Do you have faith? So in the times of doubts, develop faith. You may feel scared. I'm tired. I don't want to go. You may want to give up. Under pressure, you want to give up. Or, if you come before the Lord will say, persevere, be patient, wait for my time. Now, this is no comfort at all. You will feel difficult time. But through this, you will learn patience. You will overcome your doubts and grow in faith. You can overcome disappointment. You can, even though you don't know why such thing happened, but yet you still believe. This is growing in Christ. You may be struggling with sin. This sin keep coming back to you, pulling your legs. Would you give up? Or would you repent? Yes, I failed many times, but yet, by the blood of Christ, He knows I'm weak. He knows I'm no good. Yet He still loves me. And He provides, He cleanses me. So I can now, instead of crying on the ground, I rise up and follow Him again. How many times you stumble when you were young? When you're walking, stumble. And you cry. But the thing is, would you get up again? It doesn't have to be much. You fall down 5 times, you get up 5 times. Always, the more you fail, the more you get up. As long as you won't remain there, you get up, then you win. You learn from your mistakes and walk again. That's how we learn walking, isn't it? How we walk in Christ. We failed. I failed many times. I failed to an extent I want to give up. Many, many, many years ago. But still, I find God is loving God. He forgives me. He loves, never change. So I rise up again. Yes, I'm no good, but you are very good. You have not forgiven me. Forsake me. I will follow you. I will follow you. Just like Peter. He was so discouraged. Go back to his old life. But Jesus came and find him. Follow me. Follow me. First day, Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Whenever you fail, follow me. Someone's fault, someone may have done something wrong to you. You may be embedded in hate, anger, and yet you can learn forgiveness. You don't put the blame on others. And stop blaming yourself. But turn to God. And He will restore us. So let my friend, this morning message is simple. When we talk about serving God, it's love that matters. Love is the, how do I say, it's like the chain. Whenever you fall, because of the love of God, He can pull you up to follow Him. It's not our loss. We lost all these shackles, obstacles, bondage, so that we can gain Christ. He has the patience to train us. Even though we are not good, He is still willing to train us to be perfect, to be complete in His sight. So don't give up. We failed, but His love never fails. Isn't that great? Our God is great. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we can know a living God. And you want us to follow you and to serve you. We pray that we love you. And even though there are difficult times, even though there are challenges in our life, and yet you have not forsaken us, you have not given us up, we pray that we will not give up, but rise and follow you. For you indeed are our Lord, who are worthy. We will follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, over time. If you want to go to the youth camp, please register early, okay? We can now have morning tea.